people are faithful. And in fact, last night I was just reading in some of my devotions the opposite that was true. God was very angry because his people were unfaithful at times. And so perhaps in many ways the number one goal for a believer it should be to be faithful. Now, my sermon for today, my message is called Six Areas of Faithfulness. And so we're going to be talking about faithfulness because it's such an important thing for the Christian believer. And what I have in my hands here are two bananas. One's a good-looking ripe banana, and it's yellow, and if you were hungry, you'd probably want to eat this. At the end of the service, you can have it, Ryan, no problem. this one, if you're hungry, you might wait until lunchtime. You know, you might not want to eat this one. So for the sake of our purposes this morning, the yellow banana is going to represent a faithful believer. I want to put that to my right, your left, right here. Just something simple, visual to look at. And the rotten banana, for our sake and purposes here, is going to represent an unfaithful believer. Okay? And at the end of the service today, I guess you can choose which banana you would like to be. A faithful believer that's nice and ripe and tasteful and useful, or perhaps an unfaithful believer who's maybe not so useful and exciting to be around. Now, before we move forward here, I think it's important to define what faithfulness is. And now, Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines faithfulness as dependability, loyalty, stability, particularly as it describes God and his relationship to human believers. And so the first point before we move any forward, it's so important to remember that God is faithful. You don't need to turn here, but I'll just read this for you. Psalm 89, verse 8 says this. It says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." And of course, we see it in the person of Jesus. In fact, the last words of Matthew that Matthew records of Jesus in verse 28 and 20, it says this, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so if God is faithful and we are made in God's image, then we need to be faithful people as well. And in fact, we're called his faithful people in Psalm 31:23. And I'll read this for you as well. "Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full." And of course, we know it's the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And so God is faithful, and as a result, we're called to be faithful as well. Now, there are many, many, many ways that God calls us to be faithful, but as we're looking at this season of our church and we're looking to move forward, I picked out six areas of faithfulness that God calls us to in order to bring our church to health and to make sure we have a strong foundation that we can build upon and grow in. Now, some of these areas might seem obvious to you, but I think if we're all honest with ourselves, it's very likely that most of us, if not all of us, struggle in one or more of these areas when it comes to faithfulness. And I speak of myself, too, when I say that. So the first area of faithfulness that I think God calls us to is to prayer. And we can put the first point up there, Scott. Thank you. Romans 12 says this. It says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." Who here is familiar with Gospel for Asia? Just a show of hands here. Gospel for Asia. The founder of Gospel for Asia is K.P. Yohannan, and he's the founder and international director of Gospel for Asia, it says here in the back of this book. K.P. Yohannan, in this book, Revolution and World Missions, he gives a piece of his testimony. And I just want to illustrate this point that prayer does incredible things. And often I find that, success in ministry is often directly related to our faithfulness in prayer. Let me say that again. I believe success in ministry is often directly related to our faithfulness in prayer. And here's a story that illustrates that well. I don't know how to pronounce his mother's name, but I'll do the best I can here. Akiyama's eyes stung with salty tears, but they were not from the cooking fire or the hot spices that wafted up from the pan. She realized time was short. Her six sons were growing beyond her influence, yet not one showed signs of going into the gospel ministry. Except for the youngest, little Yohanan, as I was known. Every one of her children seemed destined for secular work. My brothers seemed content to live and work around our native village in Niranam in Kerala, South India. Oh God, she prayed in despair, let just one of my boys preach. Like Hannah and so many other saintly mothers in the Bible, my mother had dedicated her children to the Lord. That morning, while preparing breakfast, she vowed to fast secretly until God called one of her sons into his service. Now here's what I want you to hear here. Every Friday, for the next 3.5 years, she fasted. Her prayer was always the same. So every Friday for 3.5 years, I don't know exactly what that looked like, but she prayed that prayer. And KP would later on in that chapter give credit to his mother. If it wasn't for his mother praying so faithfully, there's no way that he would have been in the place that he was at now. And so the question I have for you, imagine our entire church prayed faithfully like that. I wonder the impact it could have on our world. And so I'd like to challenge you in three ways in regards to being faithful in prayer. And first one is to, maybe not for 3.5 years, but maybe at least for the month of September. It's been a while since I fasted and prayed. Well, I pray often, but it's been a while since I've fasted. But just a simple challenge, maybe for the month of September as the Lord leads you, maybe consider somehow in some way fasting and praying for our church and for our body. That could mean a meal a week. It could mean a day out of the week. It could mean a few days within the month of September. As the Lord leads you, and just as and can do it in a private way, consider fasting and praying in some fashion. Another challenge I have for you is I met with Scott Benny last week. He's up doing PowerPoint today, and he looks after the prayer weekly prayer letter. And I was so excited to hear that we have a weekly prayer letter when I came, but it was surprising to hear that only 12 people are on this list. Not too sure exactly how many people are on the list, but so I discovered that the majority of people in this church are not on this list that receives prayer requests every week. And so I would love to see the opposite to be true, that the majority of people in our church being on the email list of prayers. And so I would encourage you, a simple challenge, if you can contact the church office or contact Scott Benny yourself and be added to that list. We need to be holding each other up in prayer. The third challenge is another thing I was really excited about when I came here is that there's a pre-service prayer meeting at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings right before the church service. And I know before I came here, I was thinking, I need to make sure that there's some kind of time where the church can come and pray together in a kind of corporate way on a weekly basis, and it's already happening, which is great. And so I would encourage you, I know not everyone's schedules can allow for that, but if you're able to come on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, if logistically it works out for you, if you could be there, room 309 in the prayer room at 10 o'clock, and just to pray for the service and whatever else the Lord puts on your heart. So those are three practical challenges I have for you to be faithful in prayer for our congregation. The second thing here, the second area that God calls us to be faithful in is Bible study. And I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Excuse me, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, I sometimes when I meet some Christians, some believers, it kind of reminds me of this story I've heard of a prairie chicken who was wandering around and eventually found this egg. And I guess this prairie chicken thought this egg was abandoned. So it decided to sit on this egg, and over time, the egg hatched, and out came an eagle. But the eagle, seeing prairie chickens, grew up thinking that it was a prairie chicken. And the prairie chickens thought this eagle was a prairie chicken just because they're not that smart. That's just what they thought. And so this eagle ended up living its life clucking around like a chicken, eating garbage off the ground like a chicken, until one day the eagle looked up into the sky, and he saw these majestic bald eagles soaring, dipping, diving, doing incredible things, and the eagle just longed to go up into the sky, and he asked his prairie chicken people, family, he said, "What is that?" And the prairie chickens responded, "Those are eagles. They're so beautiful, but you can never be like that because you're just a prairie chicken." And so the prairie chicken ended up living its whole life clucking like a chicken, eating garbage on the ground, never once thinking to spread its wings and to fly like the eagles. And you know what? There are a lot of Christians who should be living like eagles, but they're living like prairie chickens. And what I mean by that is they live there. Sometimes you can live your whole life and not even read the Bible, or not even read it from start to finish. And I just need to tell you that, man, there is so much that you're missing if you've been a believer for even more than a year and you haven't even challenged yourself to read through the Bible. And I would just like to challenge you, another practical challenge here that I'm throwing out at you, is if you have never read through the Bible, you're missing out. You're living like a prairie chicken. And, you know, there's all sorts of tools to help you with that. There's some online tools. There's some apps that you can download on your iPhone or iPad or whatever pad you have. And they can help you with plans and maps and all the rest. So challenge you to do that. And I'm so encouraged when I hear guys like Aaron who voluntarily just doing it himself and maybe consider enrolling in a course at CBC, which might encourage and challenge him to do that as well. So whatever we can do to uphold the Bible in our lives and to read it, to cherish it, hey, that's a good thing. The third area of faithfulness that God calls us to is church attendance. I know this is seems to be quite obvious, but I think it's worth mentioning. And I'd like to turn to your Bibles, actually, to Hebrews 10. Because this passage is going to help us with the next 3 points. So if you could turn to your Bibles, to Hebrews 10, if you have it with you. And we're going to start at verse 23. And we're going to read the verse 25. And while you're turning there, again, I just want to say the next 3 points are very much all related. Okay, and you can't be faithful in the next 2 items if you're not faithful in this item. And we'll see that in a second. So Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Here we go. Where is it? There it is. Hebrews 10, verse 23 and following. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." In verse 24, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." You know, and this is one area that I haven't always been the best in when it comes to church attendance. I remember when I first moved away from home, I some days I would go to church, another week I might sleep in, the next 2 weeks I would go to a different church, the next 2 weeks I might sleep in, and I remember my mom called me on one Sunday, I was in bed, I was in my pajamas, and my mom called me, she said, "You go to church today?" And I said, "I went to Bedside Baptist today. The service was great." But I look back and I regret those years. But I do have to say, if we can go to the next slide there, Scott. There is this attitude in our culture which is not good for the church, I think, today. And that's just, there's this non-committal attitude in our culture. This is an ad I took a picture of, and I was reading the paper this past week. And if you can see the heading up there, it says, "Heavyweight Plan, a featherweight commitment." And that's the attitude, I believe, of our culture. You know, we want the best programs, we want it all, but we don't want to show up. You know, we want to show up at church 1 week, skip 2 weeks, show up maybe 2 months from now, whatever, come and go as you please. It's a nonchalant attitude towards church. And I got to tell you, that is a problem in our church today. Such a basic concept, but it's a problem, and particularly in my generation. We don't like contracts. I'm told that cell phone companies are going to be forced to not have contracts in a few months. Personally, I like contracts because, in my opinion, it reduces the total cost of the bill. But I'm not an expert when it comes to cell phone contracts, but that's where our generation, our culture is moving to. The younger generation, in particular my generation, we shy away from membership. And I think one of the reasons is because we don't like commitment. I'm totally surprised when I look at my friends and just peers from school. It's it blows me away how many people would rather live together before they get married. I can't understand that. They'd rather live together without a formal commitment. It's just the culture we live in. And I got to tell you, church, it's a problem. And even when sometimes we're asking people to volunteer in churches, I find that sometimes people will say, yeah, I wouldn't mind being involved, but I don't really want to be in charge of anything. I don't want to be tied down in any way. That happens. And so, church, I want to ask you to be countercultural. God calls us to commit to things, and I need to ask you and challenge you to do the same thing as well. More about that to come in a second. But just getting back to this idea of attendance, fathers, if you care about your children growing up in the Lord, I just recently read a study of how a father's attendance will eventually affect their children's attendance when they grow up and leave the home. And it turned out that children will pretty much mirror the attendance of their father. So if a father was a committed churchgoer and committed to church attendance, it's very likely that the children would follow suit. The opposite is also true as well. If a father was very sporadic in their attendance, well, it's very likely that the children would be sporadic as well. I'm sorry to say, I don't know why, mothers, your attendance, whether you attended full-time or sporadically, it doesn't matter, apparently, according to the study I read. But dads, there's a big responsibility on your shoulders to make sure that you're loving the Lord and attending and getting involved. So off to the next point. The fourth area, and again, this is intertwined with church attendance, is your involvement. You can't really get involved in stuff if you don't attend, right? So, again, I just challenge you. If there's an area that you see, if there's a need you see in the church, I just encourage you to get involved. Get involved where you're gifted. Get involved where there's a need. Get involved in a place where you can bless someone else. And that leads me back to this whole membership thing. In a few weeks, we're going to welcome people into membership on September the 29th. Dan had announced that. And we're going to have some membership classes next Sunday at 6 o'clock and the following Sunday at 6 o'clock. And if you feel that the Lord is calling you to this church, it's time to commit, I think. If you're not there yet, that's fine. But, you know, I remember in my teen years when we were attending a church, my family was attending the church for 4 years. And we kept on asking ourselves while we were there, are we here? Are we there? Are we going to be attending this church? Is this the church that we're going to be members at? And I just wish we just said, yeah, we're in, you know? Now, you're not signing your life away, but becoming a member just simply says that, hey, I'm committed to this group of people. I'm part of the team. I want to get involved. I'm committed. And again, church, I just want to challenge you. I know you'll probably give me a list of 20 reasons why it's not biblical to be a member. Some people will do that. But I just got to tell you, church, it's time to be countercultural. God calls us to commit to each other, and we need to do that. And so if the Lord is calling you to become a member of our church, I just challenge you to come out next Sunday night at 6 o'clock in the lounge. Just tell the church office or contact myself if you're interested in church membership. The fifth area of faithfulness that the Lord calls us to is supporting one another. And of course, that, like I said, it relates to the previous two things. If you don't attend, you can't get involved. And if you don't get involved, it's very hard to support one another. So these things all feed off one of each other. It reminds me of a story of the 1992 Olympics, where a guy by the name of Derek Redmond had dreamed his whole life of winning the gold medal in a 400-meter race. And so he was in the Olympics. The gun shot, and he was running his heart out. Derek. And so he was crossing, he was going around the circle, and he saw the finish line in sight, and all of a sudden he fell flat on his face. A shooting pain goes right down his right leg. It turned out he tore his hamstring. And so without even thinking, Derek just got right back up to his feet. The runners passed him, and all of a sudden the medical attendants were running towards Derek to see how they could help him. And all of a sudden, out of the stands, this guy in a t-shirt jumps out of the stands. He's pushing over security guards. He's pushing over medical attendants. And he runs up to this guy. And it turns out that this man's name is Jim. And Jim is Derek's father. And so Jim, he runs up to his son, Derek, and he says, son, you don't have to do this. And Derek says, yes, I do. And his father, Jim, says, okay, well, let's do this together. And so Derek put his arm around his son, Jim, or the other way around, Jim put his arm around his son, Derek, and they finish the race together. And you know, church needs to be a lot like that. You know, we have a church full of Derricks who are maybe in need of someone to come alongside of them and help them. And we also have a church full of Jims, people who have experience, who have maybe a word of wisdom, a word of advice. Maybe they can come alongside and kind of offer a hand. And if we're honest, quite often we're both Derrick and Jim at the same time. Sometimes we can be helping someone and at the same time needing help ourselves. And so we need to support each other. A practical way that's being done, in my previous church I came from, there's a guy who has cancer. He's my age, well, a few years older. He has a young family, and he has to go through treatments. And so he's had to shave his head. Now, the people in the community, friends and family, and people in the church, a lot of them are shaving their heads, too, to support him. And that's such a simple but practical way to show our love and support for one another. I spoke with Mike, who looks after the youth here last week, and he said, you know, one of the best things, you know, a really cool thing would be if we had some older people in the congregation who would come and mentor our youth. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but if maybe you've ever been considering mentoring youth before, and that might interest you, I would just encourage you to go talk to Mike. And that's another simple and practical way to mentor and support each other. The last area of faithfulness that God calls us to here for today is giving. And I just want to read to you 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6. It says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And so, you know, money sometimes is somewhat of a sensitive thing to talk about in church, but to be honest, it's a very practical thing. There's lots of expenses that the church has, and people, the church needs people who give faithfully. And so this passage encourages us to give generously, and God calls us to give faithfully. And so whatever it is that we're giving, whether great or small, I think God is honored when we're giving faithfully. So, back to the bananas. So I want to ask you what banana you would like to be. And I think it's quite obvious. I'm going to make the assumption that most of us, if not all of us, want to be this yellow banana here, the one that is more edible than the black one. And I just want to challenge you that, I just want to tell you, too, when I was bringing these bananas here, I was careful to keep them separate. I was careful to keep them in separate bags, separate places on the counter. Otherwise, this banana would have potentially went bad. I'm not sure if you know, but I'm told that when you put good bananas and bad bananas together, the good bananas will rot quicker because they got rotten bananas beside them. And so the challenge for you today is, we don't have time. We're at a time in church history where we don't have time for Christians to be playing hokey pokey. It's either you're in and you're faithful or you're out, so you're not spoiling the rest of us who are trying to be faithful. Now, that being said, I understand that no one is perfect and we all are struggling in different ways, but I think if our hearts are in the right place and we're trying to be faithful, then God's going to honor us. So let me just close in a word of prayer, and I'll invite Ryan to come back up for us. Lord, thank you so much for today. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are such a faithful God, even when we're not. And we pray, Lord, that even though some of these areas for us might be obvious, Lord, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we all struggle in these areas. And so, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit and your power, you would help us in these areas to be faithful to you and be faithful in each other and to be the church that you want us to be. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. By reading 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, and this is such an encouraging verse. It says this, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." I'm just going to encourage you to take a seat right now, and I'm just going to play a video here in regards to what we'll be talking about in the following week. I know sometimes when they speak of church, they speak of it in somewhat of a negative way. And so next week, I'm going to tell you why I love church. And I think sometimes in our day and age, we might need to hear a message like that, a message of positivity when we speak of God's bride, the church. So I hope you can make it out next week. And other than that, you are dismissed.